think it was last week I shared how both Deborah and I were feeling rather stretched. And as a consequence of that, we've let our guard down to a degree, and our enthusiasm is beginning to wane. And so, as a consequence of that, let's continue with those thoughts in mind. And so I've entitled today's message, Wake Up! Strengthen what you still have before it dies. Now I understand perfectly well that Jesus is speaking about our mortal lives here, but to me there remains something deeper embedded into that statement. And so, as believers in Christ, what is it that we have that we should concentrate on strengthening before we die? In order to answer that question, let's first consider the three steps common to all human life. We're conceived, we live, and we die. So what could it possibly be that a Christian, because we know that Jesus was speaking to the churches, and this one was particularly the church of Sardis in Revelation, what does a Christian have that Jesus encourages us to strengthen that apparently a non-believer doesn't have? And the only answer that I can come up with is God. We have God. We have God in our lives. And in order for God to be in our lives, firstly, we must hear the word of God. We must exercise our God-given seed of faith that we might believe in the birth, the life, the death, burial, resurrection and ascension of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And secondly, we must make an outward baptismal statement that we belong to Jesus and Him alone. Thirdly, God must respond in kind by giving us, as His word promises, His Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit. And it's to live in us. God can then say, we are His. And we too can say, He is ours. Or more correctly, we can say, we belong to Him. The moment we are baptized into Christ is the moment our relationship with God begins. But it is precisely that, a momentary sign to all and sundry that we now belong to the living God. It's very much like an earthly marriage. Once the couple make their public confessions of fidelity to each other, that's the moment everyone knows they belong to each other. But because time is going to march on, in order for strangers who come into their lives to recognise the marriage, a ring is placed on the woman's finger as a sign that she willingly belongs to her husband. The visible evidence of that ring is an outward sign, a daily outward sign, that the wife has not changed her mind, but continues in that relationship of marriage with her husband day in and day out. And for those in the modern world, I also recognise that our culture also invites a husband now to often wear a ring to identify his commitment to his wife as well. But what about our daily walk with Christ as Christians? Where is the visible evidence of our song? The song that we, the bride of Christ, remain, that says we remain passionately in love with our Saviour. Where's our song? King Solomon wrote about the romance between the Lord and his intended bride, and how the bride-to-be loved and longed for her husband. And we read in Song of Solomon, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Strengthen me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, for I am weak with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. My beloved is mine, and I am His. Yes, His banner over me is love. When Jesus uttered the words, "Wake up, strengthen what you still have before it dies," and he did so in the book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 2, I believe he was speaking about rekindling daily the same love we had for the Lord Jesus when he first revealed his affection toward us. And we responded with gratitude and wonder and excitement that the God of the universe would have even considered us worthy to be called friends. Yes, Jesus was speaking to an historical church at the time known as Sardis, but he was also speaking to the generational church of which we continue as one. And to us as individuals of the body of Christ. In the same way that God views a husband and wife as becoming one flesh in marriage, this earthly example is God's way of pointing humanity to the benefits of becoming one spirit with Christ in marriage. Therefore, we reach that biblical expression, believers are the body of Christ. And with Christ our head, God, who is a spirit, he lovingly and longingly communes with our spirit by indwelling us with his Holy Spirit, sealing us and reserving us for his promises to come. God uses expressions such as, we have become joint heirs with Christ, to describe what is almost beyond our mortal comprehension. It is, isn't it? It's true. Just think about that. Just pause for a moment and think about that. We have been promised the right to be joint heirs with Christ. God says things like, I loved you so much that I sent my only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, or in me, says Jesus, should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. John 3:16. And so, what is it that Jesus is encouraging us to strengthen before we die? Well, I believe it's our relationship with the Holy Spirit that now dwells in us. As with many earthly marriages, sometimes the relationship falters because the passion dies. I believe Jesus is saying, my love for you hasn't died. I love you as much today as I did the first day I called you, the first day I introduced myself to you. But you've gone to sleep. You've gone to sleep in this relationship. Wake up and strengthen your side of our relationship. Reach out to me and we'll embrace like we did when we first met. In what I call the seven Gospels of Jesus Christ, Jesus makes seven graduated promises to every faithful believer as he addresses each of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. To the observer, it appears that Jesus has deliberately listed these seven churches in chronological order. For our purposes today, and in order for us to comprehend the magnitude of our Lord's desire for us to rekindle our passion towards him, Jesus cries out with longing words of encouragement, wake up, my bride, strengthen what you still have before you die. You're nothing, and you have no future without me. And so, in exchange for your affection, I'm offering you everything I have. I'll say that once more. In exchange for your affection, I'm offering you everything I have. And I'm doing it because my love for you is immense. Family, friends, I want us to see what the lover of our souls has planned for our future together. And I want us to consider the carefully thought out pattern Jesus sets out in Revelation of how God intends to embrace every faithful believer into oneness with himself, into an eternal relationship with the Almighty, so that we might forever become the family God has desired since before the beginning of time. Isn't that a wonderful thought? God, before the beginning of time, wanted each and every one of us to become his family. That's good news. And so to the church of Ephesus, Jesus promises, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." In other words, Jesus says, "I want you to be in my world. And I'm going to supply all your needs, for my riches, which exist in glory, are inexhaustible." That's what he's saying. To the church of Smyrna, Jesus promises, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who conquers shall not be hurt by the second death." In other words, Jesus says that if we remain faithful to him until the very end, then once we enter into the paradise of God, he will never cast us out. That's his promise. Didn't he say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? I will never cast you out. And so to the church of Pergamum, Jesus promises, "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone, which no man knows except him who receives it." In other words, Jesus says that there is supernatural provision in heaven that no earthly being could possibly imagine exists. Things that you have never thought of. Jesus says, "I have special things reserved for my bride that only she will enjoy. Every individual in heaven will be known by me intimately. I will call you by my special love name that only you and I will know," says Jesus. Interesting. Does that make you feel special? I hope so. And so to the church of Thyatira, Jesus promises, "To him who overcomes and does my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken into pieces. Even as I myself have received power from my Father, I will also give him the morning star." In other words, Jesus says, to those of us who endure the temptations of this world and remain faithful to his name right to the very end, we will rule and reign with Jesus over all the earth. Just as Jesus has received the power of the Holy Spirit from his Father in heaven to do these things and is known by him as the bright and morning star, we too will share the power of the Holy Spirit and be known by our Father in heaven as Christ is known, the morning star. Isn't that interesting? To the church of Sardis, Jesus promises, "He who overcomes, the same shall be dressed in white, and I will not remove his name out of the book of life. I will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." In other words, Jesus says, "I'll dress you in righteous robes and introduce you personally to God the Father. And he will know you by the same name as I've known you by." That special, intimate love name. "Be assured, I'm telling you the truth. Your heavenly name will never be blotted out of the book of life." Family, friends, are we beginning to sense God's gentle embrace drawing us closer and closer to himself as Christ unfolds his promises step by step. And so to the church of Philadelphia, Jesus promises, him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. In other words, Jesus says, those of us who hold fast the faith of Jesus Christ, we will become one with God. No longer will God establish a temple to point humanity to himself, for mankind will understand that God and the Lord Jesus Christ is the temple. And we, the faithful, we too are welcomed in as permanent members of that temple. Isn't that astounding? Not only will Jesus and God the Father know our intimate names, but now every living creature in God's kingdom will know and honour us by that special name as well. For written upon our vesture will be God's holy name, for our address will be clearly identified as New Jerusalem, the city and dwelling place of God Almighty. Now people can rightly proclaim, he brought them into his banqueting hall, and the banner over them is love. What is God? God is love. Family, friends, can we even begin to understand how much God loves us when we hear what God has in store for those of us who remain faithful to the name Jesus at the exclusion of all else? I don't know about you, but I begin to tingle all over with anticipation when I consider the promises God has in store for us. No wonder Jesus warns us to wake up and strengthen what we still have before it dies. No wonder Jesus encourages us to make every effort to improve our relationship with him while time remains. But hold on to your hats, for there remains one more incredible promise. To the church of Laodicea, Jesus promises, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In other words, Jesus is saying, because I remain faithful to my Father, even unto death, his throne has become my throne, says Jesus. If you, my friends, remain faithful to my name, even unto death, I want you to sit beside me on God's throne. Did you hear what Jesus just said? He wants us to sit with him on God's throne forever and ever. God doesn't want us to just scrape into the kingdom. God wants to share his throne, his peace, his power, his rest, his authority, and most importantly, his joy forever and ever. Amen. With us. Jesus told his disciples just before he walked to the cross in John 16 verse 7. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Therefore shouts Jesus, wake up. Strengthen what you still have before it dies. You are not alone. Family, friends, from the moment of conception, our mortal bodies, our flesh and blood begins a journey towards death. Time is short. Therefore, let's strengthen what we still have before our bodies die. What do we Christians have that non-believers don't? we have the presence of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit dwelling in our mortal temples, bodies originally designed to house nothing except God's Spirit. Let's seek to refresh daily our relationship with the Almighty, asking through Jesus that His Holy Spirit overwhelms us with His wonderful presence. When God overwhelms us with His presence, we automatically become the witnesses Jesus has called us to be to a lost and dying world, and thereby we fulfill His great commission. Family, the stakes are high. Let's not lose heart because we think life is too tough and God has abandoned us. That is a lie. It makes no difference whether you're Michael, who was standing here in the men's choir last night, who has not seen from birth. Hey, that's a bit unfair. It makes no difference. God is concerned with Michael and ours, our eternal welfare. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are not alone. So let's continue to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world that Jesus has called us to be. For the faithful, our future looks very, very bright. And to that we might all say, Amen. Amen.